Our God is awesome God, as we have just sung. Excellent preparation. I want to acknowledge that this time there are many, many Bible verses, and as you have read earlier, but I assure you, they all come together. You see the purpose of having selected all these Bible verses. Incidentally, they are all from the New Testament, aren't they? They are all New Testament verses. So, bear with me as you listen. When I was young, a young Christian, I was very impressed. It's on. You do not hear? It's on? It's turned on. Maybe change another one. Huh? It's here. Everything seemed to be intact. Okay, you can hear. All right. When I was younger, Christian, I read some books, and I looked in a Moody science film. I was really impressed by the power of God. I think I preached on the omnipotent God one time, several months ago. I was impressed by how great our God is, how awesome He is. Look at this picture here. The Earth and the solar system is just one star in the galaxy. And there are billions of stars in the galaxy. Billions. And get this. There are billions of galaxies in the universe. That number just staggers my mind. Billions times billions. I couldn't imagine a larger number than. And then look at the fine scale, the genetic material that God created, the human body. Just within the metabolic system, there are more than 20,000 different genes. They have only discovered this many, and there are more to discover. The field of medicine is still growing every day. So as I grew up more and more, I observed God's work in the Bible and among His own people. The life that's been transformed, the habits have been changed, and our life, this reflects how powerful is our God. I'm really thankful that we serve a living God like this. But I came across a very unique verse. I love the book of John. And the book of John has this verse says, whoever believes in me will do the work I have been doing, and look at that, and will do even greater work than these. How can human beings like you and me do greater work than our God? How is that possible? We cannot create the creation. We cannot even fathom the things that make up our brain. How can we do greater work? As it said in this Bible verse. Well, look at what Jesus said at the end of this verse. Because I'm going to the Father. Because He's going to the Father, we can do greater works. Do you know how that is possible? Jesus said, I go to the Father. Do not be worried. Do not be troubled. I go to the Father. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you helpless. I will come to you. I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of God. He will be here. And guess where he will be? He will live in our hearts. And that will help us do greater things. You say, oh, I haven't experienced this in my life. I don't know what that means. I can never do things like this. But I assure you, you can. This is God's word, not my word. Well, God has already given us many natural abilities. He has given us abilities in this world to cope with things. We can discern what is right or wrong, can we? We know them. Sometimes we do not necessarily do what is right, but we know in our hearts. We can surely stand firm for what we believe that is true. We can make a stand. Sometimes we compromise, but we should stand. We can do all this. We can correct what is wrong, correct incorrect behaviors. Sometimes we're good in correcting other people, but we are able to correct ourselves. Don't tell me you cannot do that. We're able to learn and grow in our own personal maturity. We're able to learn and grow. In fact, the world, the scientific field, the medical field can learn and grow. God has given us that ability. The advancement of science and medicine is given by God. We thank God for all the advancements that He gave us. And we can improve whatever we are lacking in our lives. We have the ability. God has given all these, what I call, common grace to all of us. Common grace. Like the air we breathe, like the rain that we have, like the beautiful sun and the earth that we live. He gives to everyone, whether you are righteous or evil. He gives to us. So we have all these common graces that God has given us. But today I'm talking about uncommon grace. We're talking about special grace that God gives to us. The special power that God gives into our life. You know, there are things that the medical field cannot cope with yet. Diseases that they could not conquer. There are internal problems in our hearts. Sometimes we find it too hard to forgive someone. We don't have the ability to do that. Sometimes there are dangerous situations in our lives that we need the supreme God to deliver us from. Things like this, we call them miracles. But miracles is just what God can do through our lives, in our lives, by His ability that we are unable to cope with. These are, we call them miracles. But they are God's doing. Well, we need God's help. We need God's assurance to do those things. There are a couple of verses that give us the assurance. We read this earlier, didn't we? Second CO means Corinthians, okay? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. I was about to bring a jar of clay from home, but it was too dirty. It was too dirty. We cooked it, and the bottom was all black. So I didn't bring that to this beautiful sanctuary. But the picture here shows jars of clay. They are very cheap. You can You can buy them for maybe a few dollars. And inside this jar is a precious treasure in there. That is a picture of you and me. We are weak vessels. We are not very strong ourselves. But the strength comes from the treasure inside of us. The treasure stored inside. And that is the Trinity, Holy Spirit, that's staying inside us. So this is God's assurance to us. The next verse says, and those of you who are in VBS knows this verse. Memorize this verse, right? We all the kids in the VBS, including my granddaughter, memorize this verse. Okay, let's read it together. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit inside us. It's not timidity. It's not cowardice. It's not shyness, but it's power and love and self-discipline. That is the nature of the Trinity. I realize that some of you have only been baptized this year. How many of you were baptized this year? You raise your hand. Thank you. Quite a few, right? Quite a few of you newly baptized Christians. And some of you have been Christians for a few years. How many of you have been Christians for less than 5 years? Oh, a lot of less than 5 years. Thank you for volunteering this information. But what I'm saying here is this. If you are a new Christian, you might be wondering, what is the nature of this Holy Spirit? How do I grow to be more mature Christian? How can I experience a victorious Christian life? Jesus promised, how can I experience abundant life in Him? How? Well, if you have ever raised this question in your mind, let me say congratulations to you, because this is the first step of going on to maturity. You're welcome to come and join the rest of us to grow every day. The answer to this question is not very hard. How can I grow to be more mature Christian? God is so willing. His desire is for us to grow, to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have this desire in your heart, that pleases our God so much that He said, come along, come, let's grow. Let me help you to grow together. So the answer is not far off. He didn't want to hide anything from us. So let's see, what do we need? Today's main passage is this story. Matthew 13, this is today's parable, the main story. So please let us read it once more, shall we? So that I can take a drink. All right, another parable. Say, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Grows greater. Another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which the woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Okay, thank you. There are two things, there are two parables here. The Apostle Paul is a great one to teach church growth and personal growth. But today's passage did not come from Paul. Today we come from the teacher himself, the Lord Jesus, teach this parable. How many of you have heard about the triple parable together? Three parables connected to one. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, right? The triple parable. Here we have the double parable. The double parable is the kernel of mustard seed, the seed, mustard seed, and the yeast. This is called leaven, but it really is yeast. This twin parable is given to us as if the second one reinforces the first one. As if the first one, we hear and quickly go through this year and out of the other year, we didn't listen. So double parable, the Lord Jesus. This parable has several main subjects mentioned. You see the word, the kingdom of heaven. And then you see the mustard seed and the leaven. And then you see the word growth becomes big and strong and large. These three areas here. The kingdom is the place of our growth. The mustard seed and the yeast is the starting point of our growth. And the growth process is the process of our growth. So remember the three points of our growth. The place, the process, and the point, the starting point. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what the first part. The kingdom of God is likened this and likened this. The kingdom of heaven. Do you suppose that there is a kingdom in heaven? I don't know. But do you suppose this verse talks about the kingdom on earth, the Roman Empire, and things like this? But remember what Jesus said when he was being questioned. He said, "My kingdom is not here." His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Also remember, when Jesus was speaking, there were large crowds in front of him. And wherever he goes, they follow him. Let me give you this background here. Matthew chapter 5. You remember the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry in Matthew 5. And then in Matthew 20, Jesus was going towards Jerusalem. There, he would be crucified. So for 3 years, he served and healed and he preached, and he taught them the kingdom of God for 3 years. Matthew 13 was right in the middle between 5 and 20, Matthew 13. He was at the height of his ministry at that point. He was preaching, and the crowds were following him, and he preached to them this message today that you and I are looking at. The parable of the seed. The crowds, what were they following him for? Their hearts were hungry. They were looking for a savior. They were looking for the answers to their life. They want to have faith. They want to grow. These people, they have a real need. So Jesus gave them what they need. And Jesus taught them this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed. And then he said, the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast. Look at the mustard seed for a moment. Look at the yeast. The yeast really cannot be seen with the naked eye. This is magnifying around 100 times. So you see the little yeast They're all very small things, insignificant in our eyes. Why did Jesus use this parable? Jesus taught them because this is very familiar to the people of that land. It is an agricultural environment. People know about these seeds. People know about breaking bread. And so this is a familiar subject. And Jesus wisely chose the subject. Now, if Jesus was here today, he probably would not tell you mustard seed. You won't comprehend that much. What would he say? Hey, turn off the iPhone. Or turn on your iPad to Matthew 13. So Jesus used the exact appropriate parable to teach them. If they have no prejudice in their heart, if they are listening, if they follow Jesus' lesson, they will really take in what Jesus was saying to them. Jesus was helping them understand. Now, the mustard seed was so small, but it has great potential. The process of the growth. We saw the place of the growth is the heart of the believers. The mustard seed, the starting point of our growth. Now the process of growth. This I hope is the most interesting part. The growth process requires the seed to be planted in the ground. Now, if we keep the seed out and put it in our drawer, they will never sprout, right? Among us, there are some good flower planters, many gardeners. I know you enjoy this. You put the seed in the ground, you don't see things for many, many days. And those of you who bake bread, how many of you still bake bread? Or you just go to some place, lent a bread, buy bread. The baker will appreciate this. A dough, this says, in this scripture, it says three great containers of bread, of flour. This container is about maybe like a 5 gallon. Each one, and three of those. So when you put the yeast in there, you can make lots and lots of bread. I believe the three containers will feed all of us to the full. So much bread can be made out of these little yeast. But it has to be put into the dough. It has to be planted in the ground, otherwise it will not happen. Nothing will happen. It takes for you and me to make a step. It takes for you and I to take the first step. It doesn't happen if we don't not willing to open our heart. It doesn't happen if we don't say, yes, Jesus, I want to grow. It doesn't happen. But once you said, Lord, I'm ready, you will see that he will help you. He will take you to places where you've never been. This is our Lord's doing in our life. Let's see one more verse here. Matthew 7:7. And I hope you memorize this verse. Let's read it together. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. There are three steps here, right? Three things. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, it shall be given to you. ask is a prayer, right? You pray. You pray. God will give to you. This is the first step. You see, our growth in our faith is stepwise. There are very few people, maybe exceptional, who believe in Jesus Christ right away, become giants of faith. And they march on with God so in such rapid pace. But very few of us are like that. Most of us take a step and take a step. Our first step is to ask. Ask God to give me faith. Ask God for greater faith. And then next step is a little harder. You have to go out. You have to go out and find something. You have to take an effort. You have to make an effort to do something. So seek, go out and seek, and you will find. And then the hardest of all is the last step. Not only do you wander around and look for things, but you actually have to aim at something and knock on a door. Open for me, please. Open it. Knock, knock, knock. The Lord Jesus said, knock, and it'll be open to you. If you don't knock, that door will always be closed. So knock on it. There are many, many Bible stories, but I only give you two of them. They illustrate the initiative that we have to take. You know that in the Old Testament, Joshua succeeded Moses to take his people into the land of Canaan, the promised land God has given to them. And they were just asked to go in and possess it. But in front of them, as they were marching, was the River Jordan. River Jordan. At flood stage, river was running, really running. And there's these Israelites. There are about a million of them. They were marching up to this river. They have their Ark of Covenant with them. And they have their soldiers, and they have their young and the old. They were all marching here. The river is right in front. So what happened? Are they going to cross? Are they going to stop there, give up? So they make the first step. They put their feet in the water, and God caused the water to recede. So they cross the river in safety. That takes a little bit of faith. Put your feet in the water first. The second incident, they possessed some of the land. Then they came to a great city, Jericho. The great city of well-fortified city of Jericho. And it looks like an impossible situation. The walls are so high. And they were protecting themselves. They had lots of food in there to hold up for many, many days. So God commanded Joshua and his men, said, you are to march around the city 7 days. March around the city for 7 days. Each day, march 7 times. And carry your Ark of Covenant. Carry your horn. March. That looks like a ridiculous way of fighting a war, doesn't it? But this is God's command. So they did it. They went ahead. They marched for 7 days. And the last day, God commanded them, shout. They blow the trumpet and shout, and the wall fell down. And they went in. So this takes a greater faith. The first faith was easier. Just put your foot in the water. The second faith, greater faith, you have to conquer that big city. You have to overcome the big enemies in front of you. Step by step faith. I give you a personal testimony. I became a Christian in college, and I had to work to support myself. and found a job in the dining hall, bussing away dishes and do everything that the dining hall requires of me. And the minimum wage in those days is, guess, $1.25. So after a week, I made $25. That's a lot of money to me. And I realized I have to give a tithe to the church, a very small church, doesn't have very much money. So I tithe my 1/10. So $2.50. That was an easy step, wasn't it? That was a relatively easy step, $2.50. It's about 2 hours of work. Then I graduated. I took on a job. And a company paid me around $300 for 2 weeks. $300. And I was married already. Support my wife. She's still going to college. And our number one is coming along. I had to buy an old jalopy. I had to pay for the apartment. By the end of all this, $300, I pay taxes too. By the end of all this, I have about $30 left. So should I give $3 or should I give $30? I struggled. But my wife and I prayed about this. We should trust God. He will give us all we need. So we give $30. And you know, I retired about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. All these years, 40-some years of working life, and after four children, two daughters and two sons, God never failed us. He never failed us. He supplied all of our needs. Sometimes our job was in jeopardy. We have to move from place to place. But God never failed us. See, how does it apply to you and me? How do it apply to you? Even how can we grow to trust God more each day? Well, there's a way. Whether you're young or old, there's a way for us to grow. You trust God first on the smaller things. Have you ever taught in the children ministry? If you haven't, don't worry. They needed helper, right? You can support the teacher, help them, and learn from the teacher. Have you been ever do ushering? It's not that hard. You just have to smile genuinely and give everybody a bulletin. That's easy. But bear this in mind. This is true. Once you serve God in a small way, God will give you confidence in your heart. God will give you joy in serving Him. And God will open doors wider for you to serve in greater ministry. So if you don't make the first step, God will not open the door. But if you do that, God is so willing to open the door, open your eyes, open your heart, open your future for you. So make the first step. God may want you to be a short-term missionary. God may want you to lead a Bible study group. God may want you to be good in music and lead worship. And for some of you, God may want you to attend seminary, go to school to train to be a full-time minister. For some of you, God may want you to be a missionary, full-time missionary. And you know that in this church, several have followed that step. Many have grown like this, first as a youngster. I watched them grow, and they developed. They become fully blossomed. They were shy little kids before, And now they were so open. They shared the gospel with other people. And then they went on to serve God full time. I made that observation. It just delights my heart to see that. So God can use every one of us. The growth process, let me conclude with. Okay, go. The application. We talked about the kingdom of God, which is the place of our growth. We talked about the mustard seed and the yeast. That's the starting point of our growth. We talk about the unbelievable growth, the process of our growth. Now, let's have some application. This growth is not for our satisfaction. It's not for our pride. It's for glory of God, so that He can use each one of us to touch this world. It's for His glory. Our growth is for God's glory. We must come to God and ask God, fill my heart with yourself. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your compassion. Help me grow to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His grace that gives us growth. We don't deserve any of this. This growth is not in vacuum. It's not for nothing. It is for a purpose to reach the world, to touch the world. You see, after Jesus ascended into heaven, He has no body here. Your body and my body are His body. Where we go represent where He goes. What we touch are His hands. He touches through us. The words that we speak are His words. He commanded us to speak. And even the gentle smile that we may have are His smiles, to smile to the people in need. I want to show you these two gentlemen. Morrison and Taylor. Hudson Taylor, you know him. Morrison and Taylor. They went to China. They left the comfort of their home and went to China. And there they spent the rest of their life. They served the Chinese people. This is about 150 years ago. Established churches. They reached many, many people there in China. I think if today, if you were able to trace your Christian family tree, if you were to follow back and back and back, you and I become Christian, maybe because of Morrison, maybe because of Taylor. I heard about some older lady who is converted by John Sung. And John Sung may have followed Taylor's son. So if you can trace that, the Christian family tree connects the original 12 apostles, the few hundred disciples, to today. There are more than 1 billion Christians in this world. They can follow the family tree that way. So the reason for our growth is not for us to enjoy this, but that we will go to our neighbors, our classmates, our colleagues, our friends, our family, is to tell them about our faith. It has to be transmitted one-on-one. It does not grow by as a crowd. At first, you don't see the result. It's hidden in the ground, hidden in the dough. But the work is God's work. The power is God's power. Once you put it in the ground, things are happening. Things will happen. Things will be unstoppable. It will grow. So the results are hidden at first, but God gives the result. God will give a result. There will be no wasted words. There will be no wasted testimony. There will be no wasted kindness of heart that you do. And it cannot be stopped. Have you grown? Is your faith growing? Have you seen the result of your faith? Well, you can, and you will. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord's parable teaching us of the great potential that each one of us have to grow to be strong Christians, to be servants of yours, to be used by you to touch the world. We pray that each of us will have a willing heart, open our hearts to you, and say, Lord, I am willing. Yes, Lord, open the door for me. I want to go. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.